Does it look all right? There we go. We're ready. Good morning. Hey, Pastor Jim, great to have you with us today. what a blessing it is to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ today. And as Pastor Jim said, if you're looking at the church calendar, today is actually, it's the last Sunday of the year. It could be our New Year's Eve party, if you will. Because the church year begins the first Sunday of Advent, which will be next week for us. And it starts with the anticipation of the coming and second coming of Jesus. And then the church year ends here today on Christ the King Sunday. It's a climactic reflection on Jesus, the one who began the year humble and born in a manger. Today we recognize as reigning over all of creation, sitting on the throne of heaven, having won victory over sin, death, and the power of the devil on our behalf. Today is the day where we recognize the lordship and the kingship of Jesus over this creation and over our lives. And as we do so today, we're going to look at our reading from the book of Revelation. And in fact, today is actually going to be a bit of a primer on the book of Revelation in general, in a way. And honestly, I really like being able to preach from Revelation, because I think it is one of the places in the Bible that we are least likely to go at other times. Right? I suspect that if I told our grow group leaders that our next section was on the book of Revelation, I might lose a few of them. Revelation can be kind of feel unapproachable. It's one of the perceived dark and scary corners of the Bible. And I get it. That's fair. It's a challenging book. It's filled with intense, dramatic imagery, and it's often both graphic and confusing, which is sort of the classic combination. Here are a sample of pictures that came up when I typed Revelation into Google Images. And, that feels like it would be like right at home on the cover of a fantasy novel or like a heavy metal album. And maybe something like this is what comes to mind for you when you think about Revelation. I don't know how often it is that you're looking for that word of encouragement from God's word. And so you crack open Revelation. A sign appeared in heaven. There was an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, 7 crowns on his head, and the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment it was born. And you're just feeling blessed. And maybe you even make up one of those little Instagram images in the Bible app and you send this to your grow group. Hey guys, was encouraged today. Hope this is good for you too. I'm joking a bit, but the reality is it's kind of serious. It's going to be the way we feel about Revelation. When it comes to mind, we think of apocalypse, Armageddon, death and destruction, fantastical imagery like dragons, beasts, plagues, armored locusts, bowls of wrath, and 666. And it can be overwhelming. Maybe it is for you. But the truth is that if I had to pick one word, that describes the book of Revelation, one word that encapsulates the major themes of what is going on in this book, I would choose this word. Hope. I heard an actual, really? Yeah. On this Christ the King Sunday, we're going to explore why that's the case. You see, we got this text from Revelation chapter 1. And it begins the book of Revelation with a doxology, which when you hear that in, you know, you see it in scripture, or you hear that word, really it just means a hymn of praise. It's from the Greek word of glory or word of praise. Revelation begins with this doxology, with this word of praise for God the Father and for Jesus. And it praises him by grounding us in the faithfulness of God the Father, that he is the one who was and is to come, who is, always has been, and always will be Lord, and always will be faithful. This is God the Father. And the text also grounds us in the identity of Jesus, who Jesus is and what he has done on our behalf. First, in verse 5, it says that Jesus is the faithful witness, that he has faithfully shown us God the Father, that he's been faithful to what his ministry was in this world. Jesus, in John chapter 14, he says, if you really know me, you will know my Father as well. That's in verse 7. In John 14 again, in verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Jesus has shown us the Father's heart by laying his life down for us on the cross. If you want to know how God feels about you, look to the cross. That'll tell you something about the incredible love that he feels for you. And that love is revealed to us and given to us through Jesus Christ. He's the faithful witness. In fact, that word witness in Greek might actually look familiar. It might look a little bit like another English word, martes. That's where we get the word martyr. A martyr is someone who is a faithful witness even unto death, in the example of Jesus Christ. It's the same root word. Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He is also, it says, the firstborn from among the dead, that he rose from the grave. He conquered death. He defeated sin. But he was only the first. And that we, too, will find life in him. For Jesus, death wasn't the end. And it's not for us either. Lastly, it says he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. In Revelation 16, it says that Jesus' name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What it's saying is that if there is an authority in this life, if there was someone or something that is claiming authority over your life, you should remember that they are accountable. They, too, are subject to Jesus. At the end, every knee will bow. Every king will lay down his crown before the throne of Jesus and be accountable for what they did with their authority. Because Jesus is the King of Kings. To the original audience of the book of Revelation, this would have been an incredible thing to say. Because they were living under the oppressive persecution of emperor after emperor of Rome. And the book of Revelation reminded them in that difficult time that it really wasn't Caesar who was in charge. It's Christ. And so here in the very beginning of Revelation, we see the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus highlighted. That he is the one who, as the faithful witness, laid his life down for us. That he conquered death as the firstborn from among the dead, and he ascended into heaven to be seated at the right hand of the Father on the throne of heaven to be called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is who Jesus is. The book of Revelation sets the tone for the entire rest of the book with this doxology, with this grounding in the character of the Father and of Jesus. And it is with that in mind that we move on into the rest of the book. So when we get to those parts that are confusing, those intimidating parts of Revelation, the parts that to some seem to be the point, the beasts coming out of the sea, the horse-sized locusts with the tails of scorpions, the sulfur and smoke, the things that feel like, wow, I don't really think I understand what's going on here. But maybe that's a good thing because I feel like if I did, I would be terrified by what I was reading. When we get to the chaos, the hardship, the trouble, the tribulation and persecution that face God's faithful people. And in fact, when we come to those very same things in our own lives, we do so clinging to the truth that there is one who sits on the throne of heaven, who is Lord over it all, that he is faithful, and that he will carry us on in his faithfulness into eternity. Revelation reminds us that in the difficult times, we remember who is on the throne. That while all of this is happening, we cling to the truth. That the King of Kings sits on the throne. That he laid down his life for us to free us from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. You see, Revelation isn't about the evil. It's not as if there was a battle going on between good and evil, and we're not sure until the very end who wins out. In chapter 1, Revelation has already told us who wins. In fact, the victory has already been won. When Christ laid his life down on the cross and rose from the grave and ascended into heaven, victory was won on your behalf. And that is where the King of Kings, King lives and reigns, now and forever. And so it is into the anxiety, fear, and uncertainty of this life. It is into the evil and brokenness caused by sin, death, and the devil that the book of Revelation speaks to us today and has spoken to God's people for 2,000 years, a word of hope. That in the face of tribulation, you will not be overcome because the blood of the Lamb washes you clean. And Revelation 16 says, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That we, like Christ, the faithful witness before us, are faithful witnesses to the good news of Jesus. Now, if you were hoping when I started talking about Revelation today that I was going to give you the key to help you determine what the fifth bowl of wrath stands for, or that you were going to be able to figure out what day the second coming was going to happen by reading through the book of Revelation now, I am sorry to disappoint you. Kinda. But if you came today with anxiety and uncertainty about the world around you, if you came today feeling weighed down by your personal circumstances and you don't see a way out, if you came today and you look at the evil, the sin and brokenness in the world around you and in your own life, if you see the hatred and division, and you have a hard time seeing how things can get better, if you came here today in need of hope, then you came to the right book. Because we have a king who is a conqueror, a king who is alive, and a king who reigns forever. The book of Revelation finishes with this glorious picture of all of God's people gathered together in his glorious presence, saved and redeemed, delivered and victorious by God's faithful love and mighty power and his matchless victory over sin, death, and the devil. We get this picture of Christ on the throne at the center of the new creation, sitting there as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He says, I am where it started and I am where it ends. And it finishes with this invitation. And I'm not going to lie, after rolling through the book of Revelation, the emotional roller coaster, the ups and downs, the intensity of the book of Revelation, this simple invitation hit me like a ton of bricks while I was writing this sermon. We get this picture of a victorious Christ over all of creation. And what does he say to us? At the end, when all is said and done, he says, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Let the one who needs and wants hope come and find it in the King of Kings. Because he is the one who gets the last word. That means that the last word does not belong to politicians, doesn't belong to kings, rulers or prime ministers, doesn't belong to influencers or celebrities, doesn't even belong to pastors. It certainly does not belong to sin and death. It belongs to Christ the King. And as we conclude today, I want you to look at this statement from the Gospel of John. These are words of Jesus that I think describe the book of Revelation to a T. And it's what I hope you take away with you today. And just like the book of Revelation, it speaks to the heart of everyone, of anyone who feels overwhelmed, fearful, uncertain, or unsure in this world that we live in. It speaks to anyone who feels like sin is winning in this world, and maybe even in your own life. Jesus says, I have told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this life you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Trouble, hardship. In this life, those things are going to be expected. But they do not win. And they do not get the final word. We can take heart. We can have hope. Not because we know the how or the why. Not because we understand all of the circumstances. But because we know that Christ the King is still on his throne. He always will be. And he has overcome. Amen. Please stand.